are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Sit your butt down, Ben. What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in.
I was taking my sweet time.
Oh, yeah. What's up, guys?
Been a long time.
It's been a long time. Heat wave. For those of you guys that follow our channel, obviously I did a broadcast with evangelist TJ Malkanji the other day, and I had a great time. I mean, I had a blast. I think Ben had a blast too.
I had a great time.
It was cool. It was really cool.
It was very cool.
And it was an honor to be with evangelist TJ, and honestly, like, so cool. Like the setup and everything, how he was like on the TV in front of me and stuff like that, and how it, like, there was no delay.
No, it was really cool.
Yeah,
really,
it was really, really cool. And they just have they have a great ministry, and they're very high class. They do everything awesome and excellent. So I have some news for the two people that care, me and you. today is going to be our last Rate That indefinitely.
Mm.
I won't use the word ever.
Sure.
Because
you never know.
I guess maybe never say never, but like never say never. I won't sing the song. It's okay.
Oh, it's a song.
Yeah, it's either a Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, same person type song. I'm pretty sure
they're the same person.
Dude, did you not know that? well, I'm a little sad.
It's been a long Rate That ride.
It's been a long Rate That ride. It's just that no one cares. In fact, I don't even think anyone's watching this right now on the replay. You probably already skipped through to the Bible teaching at this point in time.
That's great.
Cam, you're maybe watching. I don't know if you are. Shoot me a text because I'm just curious if you are. Yeah, this is it, guys.
Well,
let's just get down to it. For the last time. It is time to Rate That Crumble Cookie. Here we go. It's the last time that we'll be doing that, at least indefinitely.
Yeah. I think that you have a good shot. I believe.
Oh, my God. What the frick?
I believe.
Wait, only cookies, right?
No, everything.
Oh, everything.
We had done everything last bunch of weeks.
Oh, this one's easy. You got the Sugar Shark cookie.
I think it looks good.
You did not get that.
I like sharks.
What is this Aloha pie, bro? A fresh vanilla bean mousse flavored with a hint of coconut over a cookies and cream crust. Dude, this sounds absolutely insane. It just sounds like I've never heard of this combination in my entire life. I've never heard of that before. The only thing that could even possibly compete with you getting that is the Biscoff cheesecake, because that's amazing. We already tried the molten lava cake cookie. The brookie cookie, I believe we either already tried or we agreed that it's just stupid. I forget which one that it was, but you didn't get that. You didn't get the Sugar Shark cookie. You didn't get the raspberry cupcake cookie. You just didn't. For the last time, I am going to go with the Aloha pie.
Wow. Come
yes!
on!
Yes! I couldn't even tell based on the on it, but...
Dude, I was looking at everything, and I was like, what's the Aloha pie? And there were just so many layers to it that it's like...
Who would have thought the coconut and cookies and cream goes together?
I think that we're going to end with a bang.
Bang.
Yeah, there's also, I don't even know what kind of nut that is on top, but there's just so many layers. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to get one of those.
Yeah, you're going to get one of those.
I think I got a good profile.
Like the BAU.
What?
It's the behavioral analysis unit of the FBI.
Oh.
Let's partake. I know what you're going to say.
Say do you? It. I don't know what I'm going to say.
It's really good.
Tasty.
Where's the coconut?
Yeah. Is the coconut? Yeah, I don't know.
Let me read the description again. Because it's actually really good. Like it's really tasty.
Very tasty.
A hint. Oh, I just got hit with a little bit of coconut.
I've yet to be hit.
No, it hit me at the end. It hit me at the end. That's actually like, is it weird to call that a little refreshing?
It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a magical experience where like something like thousands of my ancestors just began to lay hands on me. Grayson like that. Grace is in the live studio audience, bro. We usually pack out. Live studio audience, go ahead and give us a... Yeah, that's because there's only one person here. Yeah. It's just Grayson. Yeah. Grayson, say hey. What up? If you heard that, he's here. You know, we just have a very successful podcast. We have thousands of viewers, and we have a live studio audience.
Right.
By faith.
I piped in all the audience noise.
That's funny.
I don't totally know what to think of this.
I really
what
like
is,
it.
What is it like mousse? In the middle?
Yeah, it's vanilla bean mousse.
Okay. Where was the coconut supposed to be? What part of this was supposed to be coconut? It's
supposed to be right on top of the cookies and cream, I think. Layered over, coconut layered over the cookies and cream crust.
I mean, it was very good.
I feel like could have done better with the coconut.
Yeah, but like, would you have wanted them to do a lot better with the coconut?
Yes. Because you said it. What makes it Aloha pie? And then it's basically just a cookies and cream pie. Right?
I mean, there's nuts on top.
Can like, I wanted to be I wanted to go to Hawaii, like be transported to Hawaii.
I want to go to Hawaii.
You know that I was going to go to Hawaii next year?
Are you?
Or
are you?
Yeah, we're not going yet. We're not going to go. No. We're not going to go anymore, though.
It's a commitment.
We were going to go.
It's a long flight.
Yeah.
But I want to go. Macadamia nuts.
Yeah, I mean, there's that's like fun. A couple on the top.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed one. It too. Yeah, I have a rating for this. I mean, I definitely enjoyed myself. I had a good time.
Yeah.
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 How long should we keep going to make Grayson wait?
Long time.
All right, ready? For the last time, folks. We're going to lock it in.
Oh. You know, I ordered like a buzzer.
Why?
Because like a month ago or a month and a half ago, you were like, we should get a buzzer for when we lock it in.
Oh,
and I ordered
yeah.
one to be funny. And this is the last time we're going to do it. And I forgot it. So there's that, I guess.
You never know. Me and Ben might be in a funny mood one day and do it just for our own selves.
Sure.
We'll just go live on Instagram and just be weird and have a, and have it fun. There. It's actually funnier that we know no one's watching and yet we're still acting like people are watching. Well, watch this. We're going to lock it in one last time. You going to join me or are you just like.
I'm going to try to get really close without hitting it.
Okay. I think that was good. I think that was good. Yeah, I think that was quality. All right, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Me too.
3, 2, 1,
8.8.
Oh, you went way lower than me.
It was good. It's not like... really doing a whole lot for me. I don't know. It was like, I don't know, maybe I'm just out of practice. It was solid, but I'm not like, you know, over the top about it.
It was one of my favorite ones that we've had,
wow.
But it didn't have a coconut layer the way that it said that it would, or it didn't have enough of it. I would have liked more coconut present just in the advertisement of the cookie being an Aloha cookie. I also like, I don't know. I hate it when it's like, why put a couple of macadamia nuts like right in the middle? Like for what purpose? Sprinkle it throughout the pie.
I mean, I guess, but my bite, I had like one little shard of macadamia nut, and like it like shone through for me. Really? So I feel like any more would have been maybe too much.
True. Well, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was great. And I would recommend that you actually go try it this week. I would definitely do that. I bet you the Biscoff's really good, but
we've closed the box. Unrate that crumble cookie. Really unrate that.
This is it.
What was your favorite rate that?
What was my favorite rate that? Dude, I don't even remember. I feel like in terms of like being able to rate it,
yeah,
crumble cookie was the easiest.
Crumble cookie had a lot to it.
But enjoyment wise,
yeah,
I really liked Rate That Foreign Snack.
Oh, Rate That Foreign Snack was a lot of fun.
But yeah, that was because you just never knew what you were gonna get every single week. Like it was just like, you know, what type of snack is
neither
this?
Neither of them were really as good as Rate That Carbonated Beverage or whatever the heck it was.
That was the worst thing ever.
We did like 3 weeks.
I know what your favorite one was because I just remembered.
Oh, 100%. That one was the best one.
Say it.
Rate That Apple.
Rate That Apple,
the OG. And it was, I mean, yeah, I love it.
That was just so dorky. That was so funny, man. The carbonated water was so garbage.
Carbonated water was bad. Rate That Energy Drink. I think we had Rate That Oreo, Rate That Arizona.
Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
It's
good.
It was a good time. Yeah. Ben, since it's just me and you talking here and no one's probably ever going to see this, we're signing off. But enjoy the podcast teaching now. Welcome back to the teaching portion of the podcast. I'm happy that you guys decided to tune in. If you skipped Rate That, then you just missed the very last one because we are done with Rate That indefinitely. Remember, Ben, indefinitely is the word because we could bring it back at any time. Today, I want to talk to you about leaving an impact. Leaving an impact, and ironically, my youth ministry is named Impact, so I'm not discussing leaving Impact, although we will have maybe like 20 seniors leaving Impact this year or something like that, which is about the same as we had last year or something like that. We might even have more seniors graduating, honestly. I don't even know. But nonetheless, I want to talk to you about leaving an impact. As Christians, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. If you guys want to turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord," this is Paul, "beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." As a Christian, we ought to live a life worth living. Your life is not an accident. Your life is not just whatever. God formed you in your mother's womb. God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. Your life is not on accident, but your life is on purpose. And as Christians, we should desire to live a life that is worthy of our calling. Worthy of our calling. Now, turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. The reason I want to talk to you about leaving an impact today is because there are too many people in Christianity that live life on accident or live life without purpose and live life not really looking to do much with their life. It's just like, yeah, I'm just, you know, going through life. I'm just getting by and, you know, just kind of going wherever the wind blows me. But you were made for greatness. You were made to do great things. The Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he has planned for us. The Bible doesn't say that God's created you to do average things. God has created you to do good and great things for him. And so what I want to really instill into your spirit in this teaching is that you are designed to leave an impact. That wherever you go, wherever God calls you, that you're designed to leave an impact in that place. If God's called you to a specific company, by the time you leave that company, your impact will be felt. for years to come. Not just the day you leave, everyone's sad because they're like, oh, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, even though that's not how the world talks. I'm just being silly. But, you know, they've been working for our company for this long. And, you know, it's been such a great opportunity to have them. You know, they're awesome. And then you leave and nobody thinks of you again. No, you make such a tremendous impact wherever it is that God has you, that when you leave, it's as if people remember you from that time that you leave for years to come. There are people that you raise up behind you, that they come after you, and people will accredit you as somebody that developed them and helped them and encouraged them and blessed them. Why? Because there is something different about you. Why? Because there is something different about you as a Christian. As a Christian, there is something different about you. And I'm going to talk about what it is that's different about you as a Christian in a second. And where I intend to go with this is I want to talk to you about how you can leave an impact. How can you practically leave an impact? How can you live a life worth living? A life of impact? A life that far after you're gone and the Lord takes you home, that people are still talking about your life. People are still talking about the life of Billy Graham. People are still talking about the life of Reinhard Bonnke. Let me go outside the ministry. People are still talking about the life of Truett Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A. People go to Chick-fil-A all the time to this day. That is leaving an impact in your generation, leaving an impact in your life. The Bible says, and my great friend, Evangelist Wesley, he has a shirt that says this, and it's the vision for his ministry about serving your generation. The Bible says in Acts 13:36, it says that when David died, after he served his generation, David died and was buried with his fathers. But it wasn't until after he served his generation. Let it be said of you that you served your generation. And the way you know you've successfully served your generation is when you leave an impact. You are different as a Christian. Go in your Bible to Numbers 14:20 if you haven't already, because I said that like 5 minutes ago. So, but this preacher is not at Numbers 14:20 yet. And I am using my Cybele today. Not my Fible, because it's not a phone Bible. It's my Cybele, because it's a computer Bible. And I went, because I don't really know how you'd say it another way, like Kybel. I don't know. I don't think it really works. But anyway, I'm using my computer as my Bible right now, because that's what I feel like doing. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. It says this. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of the Israelites, where they sent spies into the promised land, the land that God told them was theirs and that they could have? And they sent the spies there, and 10 spies came back and gave a wicked report saying that they couldn't take the land. We can't take the land that God said that we can take. And two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we can certainly go and take the land. And what happened is all of Israel rebelled against the Lord by saying that they couldn't take the land. And everybody sided in the people of Israel with the 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb. Nobody sided with them. And so here's what happens as a result of that. And I want you to get this in your spirit about how you're different and how you're going to be different. Numbers 14:20. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested, because God wanted to take them out. And God said he would take them out, but Moses interceded with the Lord. And the Lord said, because of that intercession, the Lord changed from what he was going to do. But I want you to get this. It's actually a very important lesson. People say that God changes his mind sometimes. That's not true. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. God did not change his mind. Instead, man changed their action. And as a result of man changing their action, God decided to do something differently because of the free will of man being exercised. So God said, I'm going to take Israel out. I'm done with these people. And Moses interceded. And because of the intercession of Moses, God decided not to do that anymore because of the action of a man. God responded differently because the circumstances changed, but God did not change. I just want to make that clear. I had a Bible college professor that used to always talk about God changing changing his mind. And And she would never give us a straight answer on if God changed his mind or not. And it was just very annoying. But anyway, said, I'll pardon them. But as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. Speaking of the promised land, they have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But watch this. But my servant Caleb has a different spirit than the others have. He remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Because Caleb had a different spirit. Everybody else, no, we can't take the land. We can't have what God says. There's giants in the land. But Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. You need to embrace your different spirit. There is something uniquely different about you as a Christian, as a believer. Caleb wasn't a Christian. Caleb was a follower of Yahweh, a follower of God, and he looked forward to Christ, but Christ had not yet come. And Caleb, he, in looking forward to Christ, he had a different spirit and chose to have a different attitude. You should believe differently from everybody else in the world because you are a Christian. And as a Christian, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I want to show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? As a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. Paul is writing to a church in Corinth and he's speaking to believers and he's saying the Spirit of God lives in you. You are different as a Christian because you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. Not a dead God, a living God. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And so you should believe and think and act differently than everybody else. Why? Because you carry something different than everybody else. Something different is on the inside of you. You don't look the way the world looks at things. You look through the lens of faith. Caleb looked through the lens of faith. Everybody else saw the giants in the land and saw how powerful and strong the people were in the land. And they said, we can't take the land. We can't have it. But Caleb, through the lens of faith, he looked and he saw. And he said, we can surely take the land. Why? He saw something different. Why? He had a different spirit. You, my friends, have a different spirit. You have a different spirit. You're not just going to be like the world where you say, you know, we're just getting by. You know, we're getting by. That's how you live your life. You just get by day to day. No, you're not going to get by. You're going to thrive. You're going to be somebody that makes impact. You're not just going to be another number. You're not just going to be another person. You're not just going to be another cog in the system. You're going to be a person that does something for God and makes an impact. It makes an impact. Something's different about you. The Bible says that Daniel had a spirit of excellence and thrived wherever he went. He had a spirit of excellence. Joseph, he prospered wherever he went. Even when Joseph was in prison, he prospered. When he was in Potiphar's house, he prospered. He became number two in command. When he was in prison, he became in charge of the entire prison. When he was in Pharaoh's house, he became number two in all of Egypt. Everywhere he went, he thrived and he prospered. Why? There was something different about him. I'm telling you this. If Joseph, someone that didn't even have the Spirit of God indwelling on the inside of him the way that we do, if Caleb, somebody who didn't have the Spirit of God indwelling, Daniel, all these people that did not have the Spirit yet indwelling on the inside of them, if they were able to make an impact in their generation, how much more can the people of God that actually have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us make a greater impact? Daniel had a spirit of excellence. A spirit of excellence. He was elevated to high positions wherever he went. A spirit of excellence. Here are my questions that I want you to reflect on as I minister in this broadcast and teach. Do you make an impact where you go? And would anyone even notice if you left where you are? If you're a student watching this, when you leave your high school, is anyone even going to care or notice? Or are people going to notice because you made an impact? You made an impact. I'll tell you what. When some of our students graduate their high schools, there's going to be a massive void. Actually, I shouldn't say that because they're going to raise people up behind them. But there's going to be, you can feel that they left. Why? Because when they left, there was impact that was left behind. There's going to be people that they raise up behind them that they're going to pass off Bible studies to. And when they leave, that their initial impact of starting something for God there is going to be felt by the generation behind them. When you leave somewhere, you should leave an impact behind you. But the question then comes, how do you leave an impact? How do you leave an impact? And that's what I want to talk to you about. The first way that you leave an impact, I have three things for you. First, you leave an impact by having a vision. Having vision. Having vision. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write the vision, make it plain, that he who reads it may run with it. I want you to get this. If you don't have vision, you can't run. If you don't have vision, you can't run. What happens when you don't have vision is you end up wandering around aimlessly. In order for the people to be able to run, they needed to know the vision. If you don't know the vision, then you're just walking in circles. What's the goal? What's the direction of my life if there is no vision? I'm just walking around. What's the goal? If imagine getting in your car and just driving but having no destination. How do you know that you finally arrived? Do you feel like you're even making progress where you're going? When I'm driving to work every single day or driving home, as I'm driving there, I know that I'm getting to my house. I know I'm getting to the church where I work. I know that I'm getting there. If I go and drive to a pizzeria, I know that, you know, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to the place that I'm trying to go. But what starts to happen if you don't have vision is you just feel worthless. You feel like you have no value and you feel confused. You feel like you're not going anywhere. But maybe you're watching this right now and you're saying, yeah, I feel like that. I just feel like, what's the point? What am I even doing with my life? Can I tell you this? You can get a vision from heaven. A vision from, you need vision. You cannot run. You cannot go anywhere without vision. You just wander around aimlessly. You're like the Israelites in the wilderness, wandering around for 40 years. You're just wandering around, knowing that eventually you're going to die, and this is it for your life. But that's not what God has for you. God has for you to make an impact and thrive where you are. You're not going to spend the rest of your days just wandering and wandering like the Israelites in the wilderness, but rather you're going to run with purpose. Run with purpose. Run with purpose. Nehemiah had a purpose. Nehemiah knew that his purpose was to help the people of God rebuild the walls in his day, to be a governor in Israel, to be involved in government. Ezra had a purpose, to call the people back to the law in the Old Testament. Jesus had a purpose. What was it? To seek and save the lost, the Bible said. He had a vision. What was it? Seek and save the lost. Paul had a purpose. Peter had a purpose. Paul had a purpose to be a Gentile, or to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter had a purpose to be an apostle to the Jews. He had a vision. They knew what it was that they were to do for their lives, and they ran with it. Paul said, I walk with purpose in every step, for I'm not just shadow boxing. That's not your life. Your life is not meant to just be a shadow boxer, where you're just punching the air all the time, where you're just doing things that don't really matter. You're supposed to have vision and then run with it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Go ahead and turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Some translations say, without prophetic vision, the people are cast off. Or in other words, when people don't have any instruction, they go crazy. When people have no instructions on what to do, everyone just wanders around and does their own thing. Imagine if you went to school, everybody's been to school at some point in their life, and you walk in and the teacher gives no instruction for what's happening for the day, and everyone just comes in. What's going to happen? People might sit there awkwardly for a second, but then everybody's just going to do their own thing. Write a paper. On what? Just write a paper. Okay? People are going to start running wild with what to write. Some people are going to write on this. Some people are going to write on that. Why? Because there's no clear vision or instruction on what there is to be done. And so everybody just starts running wild. People are all over the place without vision. I know people that they start like 1,000 different business ventures or start like 1,000 different things. And each month they have something new. It's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll start a clothing business. Okay, great. You start a clothing business. But then after a month, you're done. Yeah, okay. You know, I guess I'm done with that. That didn't really work out. Oh, I know what I'm going to do now. Now I'm going to start a coffee shop. Oh, now I'm going to start this social media thing. Now I'm going to start a podcast. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. Now I'm going to start a restaurant. Now I'm going to do this. And after a month or two, or after a couple of months or a year, they just give up and they fold on it. Why? Because it wasn't birthed out of vision. It was birthed out of ambition. It wasn't birthed out of vision. It was birthed out of ambition. What is ambition? Ambition is a desire to do something. People have ambitions all the time. I have an ambition right now. I'll tell you something. If you play MLB The Show, my ambition right now, and I think my ambition is going to come to completion tomorrow, actually today, for those of you that are watching it right when it comes out on Friday. This is so nerdy. There's a big roster update, and I'm going to make basically a bunch of virtual money on this roster update because I did investments. I know this is so dorky and lame, but my ambition is that I want to get this 99 Carlos Beltran card that is so good, and I've been trying to get this card. Anytime that I don't always have time to play video games. In fact, some like even months, like I'll go like the whole month, I'll play video games like once or something like that. So I'm not always gaming. But when I am, I'm trying to get this Carlos Beltran. My ambition is to get this Carlos Beltran. Everybody has ambitions in life where they want to do something, where they're just excited about doing things. They have a desire to do something. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but ambition without vision will fail. Ambition without vision will fail. You're excited about doing something because vision is what sustains you when ambition fails. Vision is what sustains you when challenges come up. What happens when you try to, when in the ministry, I'll talk about ministry for a second because I haven't at all. But as a youth pastor, what happens when you take your youth group over and after 6 months, you've been working your butt off and you feel like you've been growing and then all of a sudden you have a Wednesday where not as many students come as have been coming for the last couple of months. Do you just give up? Why? Because your ambition might start to run out. You had a desire for something, but now you're just like, oh, well, that didn't work out. That didn't go the way that I was planning for it to go. But vision says, I have a vision to take this area for God. I have a vision to do this thing for God. I have a vision to have the best coffee company that there is. I have a vision. What's the difference between vision and ambition? Well, I'll tell you this right now. Vision is direction from heaven, while ambition is a desire to do something. Ambition is a desire to do something. Vision is a direction from heaven. I don't have a vision on my own. My vision comes from heaven, where God has given me a vision to take my area, and I cannot stop running with that vision. The only way I'll stop running out of that vision is if I step out of God, if I step away from the Lord. But as long as I remain in Him, I'll run with that vision. Why? Because it's in me. I can't help it. I can't help it. And there's been times where I felt like quitting, but vision keeps me going. Vision keeps me going. Vision keeps me dialed in to what God has for me. It's not built on ambition. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? What is your end goal? What do you want to see happen? What are you even doing with your life? These are questions you need to ask yourself if you want to leave an impact. Why do you exist? Why are you alive on earth? And can I tell you this? The answer isn't, I'm alive on earth. I don't have a purpose to why I'm alive. Maybe I shouldn't be alive. That's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. Everybody has a purpose in life. God has created everybody with a plan. God has a vision for every single person. God has a vision for every single person to be able to fulfill. You need vision. You cannot be successful in life without vision. You can't. And everyone's vision is different. Your vision's not my vision. And, you know, my vision is not your vision. Simple. Your vision's not my vision. My vision is not your vision. It's different. It's different. Now, people may get tap into your vision. Like, as a youth pastor, I have students and leaders that have bought into the vision that God gave me to take Greater Danbury for God. So people might get locked into your vision that you have. But at the same time, God's going to give everybody a vision in a different way. Like, for example, Ben, he also is in on the vision of taking Greater Danbury for God. But the vision that he has is different than mine, in the sense that his vision is not that he is preaching and continually, preaching the word of God to people to win Greater Danbury. But his vision is to be able to help and aid the ministry that he's connected to, which is this one here at Faith Church, to be able to win Greater Danbury for God. So everybody has a different functionality within a vision. But you need a vision. Figure out what it is. How do I figure it out? Get before the Lord and figure it out. People sometimes they just don't get this. Like, well, I don't know. I prayed and asked God. Okay, that's nice that you said a 1 minute prayer and then you don't know. But like, seek God in prayer and fasting diligently and figure out what it is, what vision God has for you. Seek him diligently about a vision. Get before him. God, I'm not leaving till I get my vision. How bad you want it? Second, after you have a vision, seize opportunities. Go to Esther chapter 4, verse 14. The Jews were about to be slaughtered and killed in Esther's day. And God wanted to save his people, because that's who God is. He's a savior. It says, if you keep quiet, this is Esther's cousin Mordecai speaking. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? I want you to get this. God has you where he has you for such a time as this. You are on earth at this time for a purpose and for a reason. And it associates with your vision. But Esther was on earth for her time, because God needed her on earth for that time. But you know what's amazing? It says in the Bible that if Esther kept quiet, that deliverance and relief for the Jews would come from another place. If you miss out on the opportunity and on the opportunity that God has before you, God will pass you over for somebody else. If you feel called to preach and you get an opportunity to preach and you say no to it, and I'm not talking about legitimate reasons why you might say no to it. I'm talking just like you don't feel like it. I'm not really feeling it today. I'm not really feeling it this week. Guess what's going to happen? Next person, somebody else is going to get that opportunity and it's going to pass you right by. And then you're going to say to God, God, how come I don't have opportunities to preach? God, you called me to preach. Where are my opportunities? And God's going to look at you and say, because you despise the day of small beginnings. When you weren't faithful in the little, so I can't give you more. How can I give you another preaching opportunity when you rejected the previous one? Tell you, you got to repent of that before God will give you another opportunity. You got to repent of that. Ask God to forgive you. God, I'm sorry, I won't do that. God's called me to be a youth pastor. God's called me to help youth. I seize every opportunity that I can to be able to help youth to the best of my ability. You know what's amazing? There's a pastor that I know. His name is Pastor David Stewart. Great guy. Great, great man of God. And his youth pastor, Pastor Eric McIntyre, he's become a friend of mine, and I'm so, so proud of what God is doing over at his youth ministry. But Pastor David, when he was just starting in the ministry, one time he gave an altar call, and a little boy raised his hand. He was maybe 5 or 6. And Pastor David ignored him. He gave us a salvation call. Pastor David ignored him. And for a month after that, Pastor David saw like no, I don't know if salvations is right, but I think so. Like no, like miracles, salvations. I think salvations as well. I definitely know miracles, but he didn't see the hand of God on his ministry at all. And he got before the Lord and he said, Lord, how come there's nothing happening in my ministry for the past month? And the Lord spoke to him and said, because you despise my little ones. Whoa. If that's not a wake up call, I don't know what is. God literally just decided to say, okay, I'm done with you. If you don't want to value the people that I'm bringing into your ministry, I'm all set with you then. Whew. Crazy. But it's the way that God works. And I'm not saying that it's bad that God operates by that when I say crazy. I'm saying like, whoa, like reality check. That's the way that things work. That's how God operates. If you're not faithful in the little, he won't give you much. He won't give you more. But Pastor David repented and asked the Lord to forgive him. And I have good news for you. If you have failed to seize an opportunity, then God will help you. If you repent, God will forgive you and he'll restore you. You just need to get before him and repent. And Pastor David has a great ministry for the Lord. This was many, many years ago. But I want to encourage you with that. Seize your opportunity. Don't say no when an opportunity comes. Don't miss your day of visitation, as the Bible says in Luke 19:44. Don't miss your day of visitation. Seize the opportunity. Seize. From psych. Seize. Did I just say that on the podcast? Yes, I did. Seize the opportunity. See, Jesus seized the opportunity. Jesus seized opportunities that he had. Go to Mark chapter 6, verse 40. I'm looking it up myself. Oh, I'm sorry, I think it's verse 30. It is. It says in verse 32, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran along the shore and got there ahead of him. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them. Jesus didn't plan to teach that day, but he saw an opportunity to do what he was called to do. What was that? To seek and save the lost. He saw an opportunity to fulfill the vision that the Father had given to him and the assignment that the Father had given to him. And he seized the opportunity to preach. He seized the opportunity to do what it was that he was called to do. If you're called to be a photographer and you feel that what God wants you to do is he wants you to do photography at your church, and the church gives you an opportunity to do photography and you say no because you're not feeling it that day, then guess what? You just squandered an opportunity for what God called you to do. You need to seize every opportunity to do what God has called you to do. Listen, I'm not saying if you're doing a bunch of stuff and you're already seizing a million opportunities and you have to say no to something because God has taken you to a place where you don't have time to do everything. That's a different story. But what I'm saying is that you should look to seize every opportunity that you possibly can. I know a lot of people called to the ministry watch my podcast. If you, and by a lot of people, I mean like a couple, because our podcast doesn't get a ton of viewers, but I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I'm not trying to do that. I really despise it when people do that. But I know that the majority of people that watch the podcast, I'll say it like that, are called to the ministry. So for those of you guys that are watching that are called to the ministry, if you get an opportunity to preach, don't say no unless you have a legitimate reason to say no. Seize your opportunity. The last thing, after you have how do you leave an impact? Have a vision. Seize opportunities. Leave behind a legacy. That's the last point. Leave behind a legacy. If you really make an impact, you'll raise somebody up behind you. You'll raise people up to be able to carry on the legacy, the thing that you've built. Moses raised up Joshua and then passed it on to him when he died. Paul raised up Timothy. Jesus raised up the 12 disciples. And then he said, greater works you will do. You know why? Greater works we will do because he's going to the Father. But watch this. When you make an impact in your generation, when you make an impact for God, you'll leave behind a legacy to the point that you'll set up the next generation to do greater things than you did. Elisha did greater things than Elijah. You'll set up the next generation to do greater things. John Osteen, great pastor, did great things for God. He set up his son Joel to do greater things. Joel took it to another level. Pastor Joel Osteen, all the way up to 40,000 people. 40,000 people. I think when Pastor John Osteen passed away and went to heaven, I think that he had the church at 10,000. He started with 90 people in a ballroom, grew it to 10,000, passed it on to Joel, Pastor Joel, and Pastor Joel grew it to 40,000 people. People love to criticize that man. He literally is the nicest person on the planet, and people love to criticize him. Well, you know, seriously, why is everybody always criticizing people that do great things for God? Like, knock it off. It comes with a territory. I understand it. When you do great things, people are going to criticize you. But one of the nicest men I've had the privilege of meeting, Pastor Joel. And I don't know why I'm defending him right now. I just wanted to. But it's unacceptable the way that people talk about that guy. He's one of the kindest men of God that I've ever met in my life. I was a 15-year-old kid when I met him. And he treated me as if I was like the president of the United States, with the attention that he gave to me, how personal he was in the conversation, a great man, and I have a lot of respect for him. But nonetheless, the point is leaving behind a legacy. You leave behind somebody else to be able to take over where you left off. You want to leave behind somebody. I've heard Oral Roberts said, a great evangelist, he said, in order to be a success, you need to have a successor. And I agree with that. Being a success, you'll leave behind successors. You'll leave behind people that have been impacted by your ministry to the point that they're going to carry on the thing that you're doing. And that's not just in the ministry. That's in life, in any area. When you make enough of an impact, you'll leave people behind. You'll leave something behind. You'll leave a spirit behind. You'll leave a project behind. I know that when I leave Impact Youth somewhere down the road and God brings me to a place where maybe I'm pastoring adults or pastoring this church, I know that I'm going to raise up somebody that they're going to take what I've done and they're going to carry it forward and continue to go with it. They're not going to have to tear the whole thing down and rebuild. They're going to be able to continue to build upon what has already been left. That's leaving an impact. I want to impact my generation and people's lives in a business sense. That, you know, if you build a business, you build a business that impacts people to the point that people are talking about your life far after you're gone. People are talking about what you've built. Now, obviously, I want to be clear. When I say what you've built, we understand that it's by the help of God, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But you should leave behind a legacy. If you're going to make an impact, have a vision, seize opportunities, leave behind a legacy. Amen. Before I close this broadcast, I want to take an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're listening to this right now and you're like, you know what? I don't really feel like my life has a lot of purpose, Joey. And I really want to live a life that has purpose. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with Jesus. In order to live a life that matters, the first thing to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his very soul? If you have everything but you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing. Doesn't matter what you build. Doesn't matter what you build. All these famous people and celebrities that they live their life and they think that they have the whole world, but then they take their own lives because they feel empty. It doesn't have to be you. The truth of the Bible is this, that we were all created by God, but we decide to rebel against God and his commands. That rebellion is called sin. God gave the very breath into our lungs, but yet we rebelled against him. The Bible says that the payment for our sin is death. We all deserve to die because of our sin. We all deserve to go to a place called hell because we've rebelled against God, and there must be a payment for sin. But the Bible also says this, that Jesus Christ came down. He lived a perfect life, although he was tempted to sin just as we are. He then went to the cross and he took the payment for our sin. He died on that cross. He was buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. What did he do? He took the payment. He defeated death by being raised from the dead. He defeated death. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me and he loves the world. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, you can have eternal life. You can live a life that is purposeful in this life. And in the next life to come, when you die, you'll go to a place called heaven for all of eternity with God. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. One of two places. There is no in-between place. And God wants it to be heaven. Today's the day of salvation for you. If you want to get right with Jesus Christ, right where you're watching right now, I want you to say this prayer out loud. Say this. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on the way I was living, and I put my faith in you. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now. A real Christian. I'm not turning back. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you said that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. We're so happy you gave your life to Christ. If you did just give your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to set something up very soon. I started a ministry called Freedom Generation, and we're going to set up a something on our website that says, I just got saved. And so we're going to be able to help you get followed up with and help you understand your faith and understand the decision that you made. But in the meantime, if you would, if you go on our Instagram page, and Ben, if you can go ahead and throw that slide up right now, you'll see our Instagram. It says Freedom Gen Ministries, I think is the name of our Instagram. It should say it right in front of my face right now. You probably don't see me at all right now. And you can go on Instagram and you can DM our page and we'll be happy to help you get plugged into a church, because that is the next step. We want to help you grow in your faith. Keep watching these podcasts and it will help you continue to learn more about your faith. The last thing I want to do is this. I want to give you an opportunity to sow a seed today. If the broadcast blessed you and you want to see a generation saved, you want to see God do something in a generation, let me tell you what Freedom Gen is doing to leave an impact. Freedom Gen is a ministry I started to be able to help students and youth pastors put on evangelistic events at their churches and schools. And so basically what we do is we help them by literally giving them funds to go and do events at their public high schools, at their youth ministries, mass scale evangelism. We've seen thousands of people saved through our events that we've done here at Impact Youth at Faith Church. And we've seen thousands saved, and you can be a part of that by sowing a seed today. And the good news is this: when you sow a seed, the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And if you sow, you'll reap. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So when you sow a seed, you'll reap from that seed. But I have good news for you. When you sow a seed in the ground, it doesn't come back as just a small seed. It comes back abundantly. Abundantly. The Bible says, given it will be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will come into your lap. You'll get more than you sowed for too. But you're sowing into good ground, because we are using this money solely to win souls for Jesus Christ. I promise you, this, what we are doing right now is we are raising up a generation that is going to go and win souls for Jesus Christ. We're going to help students bring the gospel in their high schools. We're going to help youth pastors be able to win their area for Jesus. There's so much that we want to be able to do. And so if you want to sow a seed today, you can go ahead and do that. The giving should be right in front of me right now. We're about to have online pay as well. Next week, we'll have our online pay completely set up, but we still have Cash App, Venmo, and PayPal right now that you can utilize if you want to sow a seed today. If you're watching this like a week, at least a week after this is released, if you go to our website, Freedom Gen, freedomgen.org, you'll actually be able to give via QGive, which is just via credit card, nice and easy for you. So I praise God for your seed. If you're sowing today, I want you to go in and just raise up your phone or raise up your seed wherever you're sowing, and I want to pray over it right now. Father, I thank you for every person that has purpose in their heart to give, not out of pressure or obligation, for you love a cheerful giver. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that this seed would come back to them in even greater measure. I thank you for lifting people out of poverty. I thank you, Lord, for bringing people into your blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that this seed will advance your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless those of you that decide to give. And thanks for tuning in to the Uncancelled Podcast. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncancelled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncancelled. God bless.